I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Have you ever had a song stuck in your head and you couldn't get it out? Try this. You get a rescue dog that comes into your house, and that dog comes with a name, and the name of the dog is Layla. Man, that was our dog. I sang that Eric Clapton song for like 6 months straight, to the point that I want to raise money to buy the master recordings and burn them so they can never be played again. Ugh. Sometimes a song getting stuck in your head is wonderful. Sometimes it's too much. Okay, the Psalms are like songs that are supposed to get stuck in your head, only in the good way, not in the Layla dog way. The Psalms are these songs that, they're right in the middle of the Bible, they're a big songbook, and they are not disposable. They are meant to challenge us. They are meant to call us to action. But they're also meant to be things that we find ourselves meditating on, thinking about. They kind of get stuck up in our craw, and we chew on them for a while. The psalm this morning is really important for that. And so I want to invite you to turn to page 2 in your service leaflet here, in your parish week. I want to show you what the Psalm 96 is doing. It's really, really cool. It was beautifully chanted, choir. Thank you for that. And in case you missed it, this is what this song is doing. Okay, so it starts like this. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the whole earth. Okay, so first off, out of the gate, whatever is going on that this psalm is talking about, it's so good, the songs that we currently have are not sufficient. We need new songs. We got to write new music for this event. Whatever it is big enough, good enough, wonderful enough. What we've got pales in comparison. We got to write new music. Okay, so a new song is called for. What could this be? Sing to the Lord and bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Okay, so whatever this is, it's tied up with the salvation of God. Hey, Brent. It's tied up with all kinds of goodness and hope. Declare the Lord's glory among the nations and his wonder among the people. Well, yes, 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 this is our God. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is more to be feared than all gods. Yes, this Lord, this whatever that God is doing, this is part of God's greatness. It is manifest in this act. Whatever's coming, it's going to show how great this God is. For all the gods of the nations, they're but idols. But it is the Lord who made the heavens. Yes, that's what I was just saying. Like, people have other gods. They're not the real gods. The real God is about to show this God's self to this people through whatever is about to happen. It is on. Oh, this is so good. Oh, the majesty and the magnificence of this God's presence. Oh, the power and splendor of his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, you families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord honor and power. So, the bigness of this God, the goodness of this God, the power and honor that's ascribed and deservedly given to this God, every family everywhere, every tribe, everybody everywhere, all y'all deserve it. No one gets left out. Everybody gets invited to give this praise to this God, and this God deserves it. This is everyone's God. So, man, don't anybody feel like you're getting left out. You're all in the mix on this. Ascribe to the Lord the honor due this God's name. Bring offerings and come into this God's courts. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Let the whole earth tremble before him. Okay, so then you skip down a little bit more. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Let the sea thunder and all that is in it. Let the field be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood shout for joy before the Lord when he comes. So not only is it the families of the earth that are on board with praising this God, it's the creation itself. It is all the heavens. It is all of the fields. It is the trees. So everybody from the people sitting in here, the pew to St. Paul's, and everything down in Haynes Park, all of it is caught up in worshiping this God. The whole creation, nothing is left out, A to Z, stem to stern, invited to celebrate the big, good, amazing thing that this God is going to do. Whatever is coming, it's got to be better than the hot chicken festival, man. Like, this is so exciting. What could it be? Well, it says right here at the end, when before they all happens before the Lord when he comes to judge the earth. Wah, wah, wah. Well, that's not what I expected that to say. Well, judge the earth, that does not sound like the happy thing. That is not like hot chicken. I don't see food trucks and beer trailers there. What does that mean? Judge the earth? That feels kind of negative to me. And then he will judge, I know you're going to say it again. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with his truth. I mean, isn't that the part of this thing that we try to overlook when we invite people to church, right? Yeah, we're like a church. We're not one of those like judgy churches, you know? We don't talk about all the judgment and stuff. What is going on? Why would this psalm get us so revved up, so amped, so pumped for the judgment of God? It's because for the Hebrews, the judgment of God was not a negative thing. It was not something to be afraid of. It was not something that we looked in foreboding fear of, like, got to worry about that. Judgment, that's negative. That's some lightning bolts, or that's going to be some shaming, Judith, shame on you. No, that's not what it is. Because for the Hebrews, what they understood is that the judgment of God was about God healing the whole creation. The judgment of God was God putting everything that's wrong right again. The judgment of God was something you looked forward to because there are things in this world that are not like they're supposed to be. And it's not going to be like that forever. There will be a time where God fully and finally heals and restores all this. So there will be a time when God fully and finally says no to rape, says no to war. Where God says, racism, not okay. Where God says, the exploitation of children, no. Where God looks and sees human trafficking, not all right. Greed, selfishness, no. There will be a time where God judges those things, categorically says, in a world where there's a lot of choices, those are not mine, and I will heal the creation so they're not part of my new world anymore. Is there anybody that would get on board with that this morning? Is there anybody who feels like that would be kind of good? I can make a whole list of things I'd like to be on there. God's got the same list. This is why Jesus is healing people in the Gospels. Like you see this healing story today with Jesus and the servant. Jesus doesn't heal people in the Gospels to prove that he's the Messiah or prove that he's God. Jesus heals people in the Gospels to demonstrate what the kingdom of God looks like. Jesus' healing is like God's judgment. It's God saying, sickness, no, not part of my new creation. It's not going to be part of it. So I'm just letting you know, not cool. I'm not down with sickness. I heal that. All of the weird social things that were going on in that gospel reading where people thought they were too good or too bad and you had to earn favor from God or faith, like all of that, no, we don't have to mess with that. Tribalism, Jew, Gentile, no, not doing it. God's judgment is good because it's about the healing of everything. Are you with me? Now, here's why this is so important. Because the psalmist knows that we are worshipful creatures. Human beings were made to worship. We just do. Everybody worships something. Everybody does. Everybody has a God. And the thing is, and what the psalmist knows, and the wisdom of the ancient text is, that you will become like the thing that you worship. It's just the way it goes. The psalmist knows this. You kind of know this too. Think about it. The people you know that really worship money, what are they like? They're super greedy. People that worship power are increasingly ruthless. People that worship sex pursue pleasure and are like obsessed with physical appearance. Right? You see us turn into the things that we worship. Right? So if you think of the judgment of God as about a time where God's going to come down and smite your enemies and throw some lightning bolts and blow up all of the bad people so the good people can, I don't know, be rescued, what kind of person will you start to turn into? Oh yeah, you'll turn into that kind of person. If your God is violent, if your God is punitive, if your God is petulant, if your God is one that's ready to smite enemies, it's all about like being really tribal, it's about us versus them, then you will become someone that totally advocates violence. Yeah, why not? You will become judgmental, greedy, petulant, punitive, angry, right? But if you worship a God whose judgment is about the restoring of creation, then you worship a God that's got like limitless patience. You worship a God that is infinite in compassion. You worship a God whose power is made known chiefly in weakness. And then, if you worship that God, guess what starts to happen to you? You start to become like that too. And the way you act in the world is like this God acts in the world. You become somebody that spreads compassion and charity and beauty and goodness because you're becoming like the God that you worship. Is everybody picking up what I'm putting down? Now, a couple of observations. First, in lieu of this, there are some things that need to be left to God to judge, okay? There are some things that we don't have control over in the world that we see are wrong, and if we try to get in the mix of them or fix them or attempt to control them, we will end up just getting cynical or vengeful. They get to be too big. So there is a freedom in letting God be the judge, okay? This is everything from feeling overwhelmed by the problems that we see like globally in the world to the small things like, I got a boss that's just out to get me and I don't know what to do about it. I can't stop it. I watched somebody use their power and influence to get ahead of somebody that was more naive. They took advantage of someone's naivete to get ahead of the game for them. I watched that happen and I don't know what to do about it. I'm watching some people have this incredible ability to create wealth, and so they do it to line their own pockets, and I don't know what to do about that. God says, I see it. I totally see it. Nobody gets a pass. I got it. I'm the judge. I witness it all. I'll take care of it. So there are definitely some things that there is a freedom in letting God be the judge of them. Otherwise, you will just get consumed by it, okay? But the second part of that is, maybe there are some things we ought to get kind of judgy about in the way God's judgy, in the way God is judgmental. Maybe we should be involved in some judgment if that judgment is about bringing compassion, beauty, healing to this world. So maybe like every bowl of soup you ladle out at the soup kitchen, maybe every kid that you tutor in a school or an after-school program, maybe every time you share your resources with somebody that doesn't have enough, maybe you're being judgmental, but like in all the right ways. Maybe you're kind of judging like God. Maybe you're becoming more and more like the God that you worship. So let us this day head out from this place and let's be a little judgmental in the right ways, so that we can be part of God's solution to this thing and not part of the problem. In the name of the God that judges well, amen.